You're listening to Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite. Do you want to speak with confidence and authority, have more influence, and get bigger and better results? Whether you're a top executive, an entrepreneur, or climbing the career ladder, this is the show for you. The leader who wants to inspire others and leave a lasting legacy. Now here's your host, world-renowned TEDx speaker, author, and executive communication coach, Dr. Laura Sekola.
Welcome to the podcast, Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite. I'm Dr. Laura Sekola, your host, founder of Vocal Impact Productions and author of Speaking to Influence, Mastering Your Leadership Voice. My guest this week is Laura Liotta. She is the founder and president of Sam Brown Healthcare Communications Agency. She's an expert in healthcare and pharmaceutical PR and communications, and has worked on campaigns with celebrities like Khloe Kardashian and Lady Gaga. Laura, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to you today.
Now, aside from the fact that you've gotten to work with fun celebrities like Khloe Kardashian, Lady Gaga, and I'm sure many others, what's a fun fact?
Well, a fun fact about me is one of my first jobs was on a farm packing eggs. My girlfriends and I thought it would be such a good idea to work on a production line together. We thought it would be so much fun, and believe me, it was not, mostly due to the smell.
All right, I have to get this straight. So a bunch of teenage girls in high school said, hey, I know what would be fun. Let's work on a production line and pack eggs. What exactly seems the glamorous fun of that? Because my brain would have gone to, oh, let's work at, I don't know, a cosmetics store, or let's work. I mean, I guess I did work in restaurants and things, but I would not have thought of egg packing as the ultimate fun group adventure. What was it that went through your mind?
I can't remember whose idea it was, but we lived in a very farm rural area, and everyone thought, where could the six of us work together in one place at the same time? And the hours were good. They were like early in the morning. And so we were like, oh, we'll just go. It's easy. You just pack them into a box. But actually, it's a huge, fast production line. And if you don't keep up, the eggs are flying and you're going to get fired. So it was very, very comical and something I will never forget. But what's interesting is my first internship was in Campbell Soup. And when I was working there in communications, I think there was definitely something in the egg production line that helped me do a better job on my internship. So it all worked out.
I can imagine that that actually would have had some sort of relevance where that you appreciated where food comes from in the first place and the importance of it. Although I do have to say my brain suddenly went to an I Love Lucy episode of the chocolate factory. Although I'm guessing you guys probably weren't shoving the eggs in your mouth when the line backed up a little too far, quite as they did with the chocolate.
No, not at all. And we thought it was going to be fun. And what we learned is you cannot let down the rest of the team, because if you're off by 1 second, you have to hit the button and stop the whole production line. So it was very, very funny. Not as fun as we thought it would be, but very funny in hindsight.
Those are the kinds of experiences where in the moment you go, okay, this is not at all what I wanted. This is not at all what I expected it to be. But at the very best, you go, this is going to make for a great story that I'm going to use at some point. And look at this. See, it came to use. Nevertheless, that's great. Okay, so give us your elevator pitch. Tell us a little bit about Sam Brown Communications.
Sure. So I founded Sam Brown Healthcare Communications and PR Agency in 1999. I've had it for 24 years. And we help pharmaceutical and biotechnology companies really achieve their business goals through communication. So in one area, we'll help startup companies communicate to investors so they can get funding for their drug development, all the way through to, as you mentioned, doing direct-to-patient campaigns to educate people to ask about medicines like we did with Khloe Kardashian. So really, I have a great team and a great agency that I've had now for almost 24 years.
That's amazing. And we were talking before the show, and one of the things that you clarified for me is that when there are celebrities that are communicating about medical options that are available, it's not about the payment per se, but they actually have to be using that drug for that problem, and the drug has to have helped them with it. So they're not just a pretty face that for popularity purposes, that they have to actually be effective patients themselves.
Absolutely. Yes. Because what we're trying to do is use their voice to allow everyone to understand what it's like to live with a certain disease, or if you have symptoms, how you should go speak with your doctor and look at all the options that are available. And, you know, influential people like celebrities and other things extend the reach to hit more people who can relate to them because they're going through the same thing.
So it's not just a random, okay, who's the most popular person at the top of the charts? Let's see if we can get their face on our bottle. It's really that these are people who are suffering from the same challenges. And so that's the relatability factor. I thought that was a really important piece to help people to understand here as well. So aside from that one, what's something that you wish more people understood about your role, company, or industry? And what's your role in changing that perception?
There is such a misperception around public relations.
Okay.
Public relations is really a strategic communications process to build mutually beneficial relationships between a company, an organization, and all of their publics, many publics. People think PR is like spin, where you're going to take information and make it sound better and spin it. And it absolutely is not that. Our job is really to take authentic stories, accuracy, and do campaigns to help educate people. It's not about changing existing information. So we use media relations, which means trying to excite a reporter on a story so that we can get the word out accurately, or digital social media campaigns, things like that. But I can tell you many PR people are very frustrated when they think it's just like the old school publicist who's going to come in and make up a story about someone to get the more favorable coverage. It's not that at all. It's very strategic and deep across many campaigns and programs.
And what's your role in changing that misperception beyond to your clients?
As an industry leader and an agency leader, I mean, I do really try to communicate as much as possible about the value of public relations in part of the marketing mix, because it really comes back to this authentic, influential, third-party voices. We're getting earned media and earned voices out there in the community versus advertising where you're actually paying for somebody to say something in a certain amount of time, that kind of thing. So I do work very hard to try to change the perception that public relations is such a critical long-term part of all of your business strategies.
Yes. Tell me about a time when you need to assert yourself powerfully.
Well, I definitely step into my power when it comes to my team. I am extremely protective and dedicated to my team. So I can tell you, if I were to think about some times where I stepped into my power, it would be on their behalf. I have, for example, fired bad clients or toxic clients.
What is the definition of a toxic client?
Someone who doesn't respect boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. So 24/7, middle of the night requests, Saturday, Sunday, giving direction, changing it, not being collaborative. There's lots of different aspects, not being realistic or setting certain objectives and then shifting through the process. So usually it comes down to ineffective communication and trust and things like that. But after a few months, you definitely know that there are situations that you can't really change someone. And I can give you an example of a couple times where I had to say, you know, my team is not being treated well and I can't make decisions based on money, because for me, that team was so good and so important that we needed to really say, it was more important to protect the team than keep the business and keep the money. And so I did act on that probably two times in the 24 years.
Wow. And anybody out there who runs a business or is in sales or something along those lines, business development areas, knows how hard it is to let go of, especially if they're a particularly large client, if it's a lucrative contract and connection, just to make that choice of culture and of cohesion and of trust internally, and to let that revenue go. So, you know, kudos to you for taking the path of integrity. And I'm sure that it led to better business and most likely greater business development than that client would have driven in for you one way or another.
Exactly. You would be surprised in hindsight how it was always, always the right decision in terms of the team and in terms of the business and where it was going. And I always say people who are not collaborative and don't work well, others notice too, not just the agency. So I think successful agency client relationships are something that is mutual, and the agency is only as good as the client. So I always think it's very important to have a mutually beneficial, collaborative kind of relationship with them.
That's an interesting analogy, that the agency is only as good as the client. Arguably, that could be said about any business, about any role or connection that That's an interesting definition, that the client will almost set the tone for the quality of the company, the organization, and the experience had by all. So it's almost backwards to how I think a lot of people would be thinking about it, but it's a great way to reframe the reality of what are we looking for? What are we trying to create?
Yes. And you're creating something together that can't be lost.
Yes. And hopefully that you don't want to lose.
Yes.
Then from there, that's an interesting challenge. And I think that's a good segue into our listener 24-hour influence challenge. So Laura, let me invite you to talk directly to our audience now and challenge them to take one step that they can complete within 24 hours to have more influence. How would you like to challenge our listeners today?
I'm going to challenge the listeners to say, I want you to control how you're influenced. And the way you can do that is to curate your own social media feeds. I think it's so interesting how we are always saying that social media distracts us and drags us into all these areas. And of course, yes, if you search, address a health topic, you are going to get that in your feed. But what I do, and I challenge all of you to do, is to make sure you're following people that make you feel good, positive. You know, Dr. Laura here, Mel Robbins, Jay Shetty. There's so many people that you can follow that will really give you great advice and influencing you in a much more positive way than just always watching the puppies.
And look, there's a time and a place for puppies and those little feel-good fuzzies throughout the day, the kittens playing the piano and all those kinds of funny things. But I love that idea about, we tend to think negatively about the algorithms in Google and whatever search, social media feeds, but we don't think about proactively feeding the algorithm a diet of what we want it to feed back to us. And the more we actively search for certain kinds of things, the more it will bring those back up again. So if we're tired of being retargeted for any piece of music or clothing or fast food or something that we might have looked up once because we wanted to place an order online for lunch, or we checked somebody else's political comment on something and now we're suddenly being inundated with stuff we really don't want to, that just to be able then to turn around and say, no, I want to see more about X. So how can I make it give that to me proactively and change the balance in that equation? I think that's really fascinating. So is there anybody else who you would recommend? Mel Robbins, of course, is more involved in productivity. Her 5-second rule is super famous as far as if you want to break inertia, if an idea comes into your head, don't let yourself think about it. You can count to 5 and then just get up and do it. And she's much more about making your life happen, being proactive and taking charge of sorts. Any other good thought leaders you recommend feeding the algorithm a diet of in order to help get yourself more productive and have a more positive daily influence?
Well, I'm a big fan of Oprah, and she's had a big impact on my life. When I started the agency because of Oprah, I was watching her show one day and she said, are you living your best life? And I was like, no. And I quit my job and started my own agency.
Oh my gosh.
But I just think Oprah, Tony Robbins, if you go through like even a lot of the TED Talks that are out, you could really find people who are going to motivate you, either if it's around weight loss or healthcare or motivation, relationships, spirituality, meditation. I think there are people that you can follow that will give you different information than just the ads hitting you trying to sell you a diet plan.
Right.
And so that's really what I try to do, because as you're scrolling, which sometimes scrolling is nice to relax you, like at the end of the day, you want to see what's going on with your friends and family. I think that there's just a way you can even make sure it's meaningful and fruitful and relaxing at the same time. So it's really been working for me. And I've encouraged my children to do the same thing.
That's exciting. And I love all the names of the people that you dropped. I would also encourage Simon Sinek. I would encourage Brené Brown. There's so many great speakers out there. So great thought leaders and other people. I'm sure I'm forgetting about 8 billion of them.
Me too, right?
Yes. Yes. There's so many great ones. And you know what? Anybody out there, drop us a line. Shoot me an email. Go to speakingtoinfluence.com in the contact page, or Vocal Impact Productions, or even through LinkedIn, reach out to me and to Laura. We will, of course, put all the contact information in the show notes. But let us know who's somebody who is a great inspiration to you, thought leader, personal, professional, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, you call it. But share with us some of your thought leaders, your inspirations that you have in your daily feed, and we'll share them with everybody else. Love that 24-hour influence challenge. Thanks for that, Laura. Now, what is the most nervous that you ever got before a presentation or a speaking engagement? And what communication-related lessons did you learn from that experience?
I think anyone would get nervous in front of any public speaking opportunity. It is really scary, right? Sure. And you know, the biggest tip, of course, is to be prepared, and especially for your open. Because if you can lock and load your open and be prepared, then you can really set yourself off. So in order to not mess up that open, you have to not be nervous. So for me, I can remember times when I was younger and we were doing big pitches for big pieces of business. And I would stand in the hallway with the team and we would sing that song, Doing the Butt, because you can't stand there and do the butt and sing the song without laughing, relaxing, and breathing. And so it kind of started to be our thing at the agency. Like, did you do the butt? Are you doing the butt? Who's singing? And I was like, okay, you could pick any of your favorite songs from the 90s. But for me, that's my answer now. I'm going to say doing the butt breaks the ice for me.
I can see where you would have a really hard time. And you can't sing it sitting down. Let's face it. You have to stand up and shake it one way or another. Remind me, who sings that song?
So people. Oh my gosh, I don't know. Oh my gosh, I should know that. But it's like, Sir Mix-a-Lot or something.
Oh, is that a mix? Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
so check it out. Go to YouTube or Spotify, et cetera, and find the song Doing the Butt. If you're feeling nervous before an event, you cannot sing that song and move yours and still keep a straight face. It's just not going to happen. So I love that. That's so much fun. And that was within the agency, a routine pre-event.
Yes. And we use it as a code now, you know? So like, are you ready for this presentation? And we do run-throughs. And listen, preparation takes away the nerves, because when you own it and you know it, that's very, very important. But still, you get nervous. And now with Zoom, it takes a little bit of the edge off not presenting in person or in front of a podium of a lot of people. But we're very quickly back to that. So everyone needs to figure out how to manage their nerves. And sometimes I am perfect at it and sometimes I am terrible at it. So it's just a matter of thinking it through ahead of time and being prepared.
Absolutely. And I think there's something to be said. Nerves, adrenaline, when we feel the heart kicking in, I think it's really important to remind people that it's one thing to manage the nerves, the energy, the butterflies, et cetera. It's another to have none. And you're not looking to feel nothing before an event. You're not looking to be no tingle, no butterfly, because your body doesn't know the difference between being nervous and being excited. Adrenaline is adrenaline. And to me, the day that you feel nothing, no anticipation of any sort before you go into a speaking engagement, is the day that you don't care. That's the day that there's a clue in the universe telling you that you need to find something else to do because you've lost your passion for it. This is not where you belong. We don't want to kill the butterflies. We just also don't want them to overrun the farm. So let them flutter around, let them be pretty, let them do their thing, let them motivate and encourage, and just remind ourselves that you're excited. This is a great opportunity. All the things you're looking forward to having come out of the opportunity. It's not about the mental death spiral of, oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. Oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. Because you're just going to keep talking yourself down as opposed to talking yourself up. So thank you for that opportunity for the PSA there, Laura. And the song recommendation. And we will find it and we will put a link to that song on YouTube in the show notes as well. Note to self, link for doing. I can honestly say of all the links that I've ever shared, I've shared links for Brené Brown. I've shared links for Simon Sinek. Haven't shared Oprah, but I've definitely not shared Doing the Butt. So that will be a first. Joe, love it. Now, tell me about a time when you needed to inspire others beyond, of course, Doing the Butt.
Yes. So I thought about this after we spoke, and I think that a really great example of inspiring others goes back to my team. So when I started the agency, just as background, I wanted all senior people on the team. So I hired a lot of consultants across the country. So in 1999, we were working from home. So now wow. Fast forward to 2020, right? COVID hits and everyone is moving back home, figuring how to set up. And I pulled my team together and I said, this is our time. There is no agency better prepared to manage during COVID because we had already been set up. Now, when we were doing it, there was no video. So in 2020, when everyone was getting Zoom, we were like, oh, this is a piece of cake. But I do think that I definitely inspired them and brought them together and said, this is our time to shine. We can continue at the levels that we always have been. We grew. We brought in more people. It was some of the best work. Obviously, healthcare was really important during COVID. So I really took that opportunity to reinforce with my team that they were the best in the business. They were already set up to succeed and that they had really important work to do because healthcare communications, obviously, through COVID was critical.
Aside from the fact that during COVID, of course, everybody was panicking for all the obvious reasons, was your team confident in their video capacity and in their digital communications, or was that still something of a leap for them to be using more of the Zoom, more of the whatever else?
We moved very quickly to get everybody on all the technology as it was breaking. And we sent everyone ring lights and video cameras and things like that. So we moved very quickly. I felt like we moved with the technology. I'm pretty sure we had Zoom right even before COVID hit. So no, they were good. I don't want to make light of the fact that when you have children home and you're working, it's completely different.
It's a whole different animal.
Yes. There's a whole other level of stress for everyone around that. But that's the key about having a team that's been together for a really long time. We always had each other's back. We would work who needed to cover what, when. We just were extremely flexible and moved very quickly. And we're able to sustain all of our work and grow during that time. And I think it's because we spent a lot of time together. And, you know, it was a lonely time, right? But we made sure that we were together a lot on all agency meetings and inspiring each other to continue with the work that needed to be done. So it just hit me when we were thinking about this, that that is a really good opportunity. I mean, yeah. One thing, if I may add, is that in our business, when you work in healthcare, patients are the most inspiring to us. So I also love to hear patient voices. You have families with children with rare diseases or grandparents with cancer or whatever it may be. So in terms of inspiring my team, I feel like we almost have it a little bit easier because we interview and bring in patients with stories. And so to me, that is also the greatest way to inspire us to work really hard.
I would imagine that the actual clients or the end user of a product like that who can come and say, thank you, you literally saved my life. This has changed the quality of our lives. This has changed everything about it. There's nothing more inspiring. I think almost any company, organization, to know that you made that massive difference to somebody individually or as a family, as a unit. So how gratifying was that? How are you collecting the patient testimonials to share with the team? Is it video? Is it audio? Is it just word of mouth?
Oh, so many different ways. A lot of our campaigns were actually building communities online on websites where we encourage people to share their stories, or we often work with a lot of patient advocacy organizations that represent all of the patients in that specific disease. And so we'll have advisory meetings with them. And so it's just a question of making sure the patient voice is getting back to the companies and back to the development process. And it's something I started in the 90s. My very first job was in HIV. And my job was to meet with the activists. So they're throwing red paint and angry, very angry with the industry because we were not moving fast enough. They were dying. Mm. And so what we did at that time in my career, and I was young, it was amazing. We brought together the AIDS activists with the industry, all of the companies, and really got them to understand each other better. And they were involved, the patients were involved in the drug development decisions at these companies for the first time ever. And then the activists can understand all the testing that needs to go into something before you can just give it to someone. So it was just like, talk about inspiring. It was an unbelievable time in the 90s when I started my career.
I would imagine that, I mean, AIDS and HIV rocked the world when it hit. And so for the companies manufacturing, exploring, doing the research, trying to figure out how to address it and ideally stop it, that to be able to talk to the people who were the end users and the need and to hear the experiences, that must have been a really powerful exchange to have them in those rooms and really putting their voices into the discussion.
Yes. And imagine where we are today, where the virus is undetectable because of these combinations of medicines that are available. And we've been able to cure Hep C and breast cancer numbers are down dramatically. I mean, I'm a huge, huge fan and defendant of the industry and the work we do.
That's amazing. Sounds like you've interviewed an awful lot of people on many different levels of these processes. So what is one time when you interviewed somebody and realized that they had the it factor? And what was it?
So I probably could say it about a lot of people on my team, but I hate to just pick one. So if I could, I would like to talk about interviewing a prospective client.
Interesting.
I met the CEO of a company that we were interviewing each other, really, right, to determine if we should work together at a conference. And immediately he had the it factor. I was like, I want this account. It's almost like, you know, there's certain people where you feel like there's a light shining on them. Yeah. He had so much experience, confidence, knowledge. He came to the meeting saying, I like to do this. I don't like to do that. He's very intuitive and he follows his instincts. And you can never say to him, I work with him now and how I know this all came to fruition. If you say to him, this is how other companies do it, he wouldn't even want to hear that. He is a decisive decision maker. And so if we're thinking about who's listening to this and they want to know what it takes to have the it factor in an interview, I would say what I learned from this client is that you have to feel really confident in yourself, your decision making, your knowledge, your experience, your education, and turn that into confidence that just exudes and becomes the it factor. So this guy definitely has it, had it, still has it because he's the long-term client now.
That's incredible. And it's great when you just, in your gut, you have that certainty, that knowledge, the instinct that says, this is a yes or this is a no, either way, but there's no ambiguity about it inside. I'm curious because for him, that degree of confidence where it's, I don't care what anybody else is doing. I don't want to hear about this. I'm just going to follow my gut. Where's the line between that and someone who's perhaps not coachable, not flexible, not collaborative, where it's my way or the highway. I don't really care what the rest of the world is doing. I don't care what's important. How do you identify where that line is and whether or not somebody's crossing it?
First of all, you can tell the difference between those two people by one thing, the listener or not the listener. So this client listens, thinks, follows his gut and answers, right? And I think in job interviews, we probably think we want to tell people what they want to hear, but that's not always the right thing. It's better to really be authentic and talk to them about from where you are. So I think what you're talking about, someone who's inflexible or feels they're always right or is too strong about something, they're not listening.
Hmm. I think that I don't know whether to say it's a continuum or that there's a active line between yes and no, if it's not binary, at least it's knowing that line in the sand and has someone gone too far to the other end. Confidence is, of course, important, but so many people are concerned that what does it mean to sound confident versus to sound arrogant, the fear of projecting the wrong thing to the wrong person. So I think it's important to give those examples to basically operationalize the terms so that people can say, yeah, okay, I guess I can promote myself a little bit more and share more about this or be more certain and assertive for that matter and say, no, this is how I feel. This is what I need. This is what I believe. And I'm not willing to flex on this particular point. And you can do that in a way that is not necessarily arrogant. And for that matter, you may or may not be someone else's cup of tea. Not everybody's going to love you. Not everybody's going to love anybody for that matter. So recognizing how do you find your tribe? How do you find the person or the organization that really is a good fit? And that's something we really need to decide for each other. And it sounds like he certainly helped you to identify where that was a really good synergy.
Yes. And I think there's real confidence and there's pretending to be confident. And to me, confidence comes from being expert in something. So if you're really expert in something, you can be very confident. You have the experience, you've experienced it before, or it's just something that you've done the research or you have the surrounding sound to be more confident about what you're saying. So to me, that's really important.
And finally, Laura, tell me something that you do to create a little bit more fun for your team.
We have fun. Once a year, we go on an all-agency retreat. We've been to Nashville and Vegas and Philadelphia and LA, Laguna Beach. And last year we went to an all-inclusive in Mexico. We did some zip lining and we had some meetings and we dance and we laugh. And it's just nothing better than getting everyone together so that you're building again that camaraderie and teamwork. So we definitely make time for fun. And since we all work from home across the country, it's really important. All the regions get together more than just that once a year, but once a year we all get together, all 50 of us.
That's amazing. And I will be stowing away in your luggage on your next trip. So if you're wondering why it's a little heavier than usual, that might have something to do with it. That sounds awesome. So how can people learn more about you and Sam Brown?
Yes, well, you can visit sambrown.com, sambrown.com, and learn all about the agency. Or please feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn at Laura Liotta.
Perfect. And thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a great conversation. And I will have this image of you and Lucy on the conveyor belt with eggs and chocolate for quite a while after this conversation.
Thank you. So fun.
And thank you, everybody else, for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or your platform of choice so we can help even more people to increase their confidence, presence, and influence. And of course, don't forget to download my free guide to equipment recommendations for virtual influence, including my picks for microphones, lights, and more at speakingtoinfluence.com. I'm Dr. Laura Sekola, and you're listening to Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Laura Sekola, and I want to sincerely thank you for listening to the Speaking to Influence podcast. If you love listening to these episodes as much as I love bringing them to you, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And please go to iTunes right now to rate and review our podcast in order to help us expand our reach so even more people can master the 3 C's: to command the room, connect with the audience, and close the deal.
Thanks for listening to Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite, the show for leaders who want to speak with impact. The hosts, producers, owners, and media distributors of the show make no guarantees that the strategies and information discussed will result in profit or other success and may result in losses. The opinions and statements of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the owners, staff, managers, broadcasters, or sponsors of the show. No medical or psychological therapy or personal or professional wellness or relationship advice is offered in the show. You are advised to seek counsel on matters related to your health, family, relationships, job, or other business and legal matters from licensed advisors in those areas prior to making any changes in business or lifestyle. No information provided may be suitable in your situation. As always, take responsibility for the decisions and actions you take, including the reactions they may make in your work, family, health, and life.